By midnight, there are bodies everywhere. Her tiny flat is crammed to bursting, but people are still stumbling through the door, waving packs of Stella or Strongbow and wrapping her in cheerful, beery hugs. She doesn't remember inviting them all, doesn't recognize half of them when she stops to think about it. But so what? For the last 4 years, she's been juggling coursework with her shifts at the all-night garage, slogging away at her degree while it felt like the rest of the world was out getting laid, or legless, or both. Doing it her way, she told her parents. Standing on her own 2 feet, and they couldn't argue with that, could they? Even if Mum had thrown a massive wobbly at the thought of her baby girl rejecting St Andrews and choosing to study at Glasgow. But with her finals out of the way, she's officially an ex-student. So tonight, it's party time. Shed loads of booze, the flat decked out with tea lights and a joke 70s glitter ball, and all her mates from uni, ready to make a night of it. Not all of them, though, a snide little voice reminds her. Things didn't exactly go to plan there, did they? She shakes her head, swallowing the tightness in her throat, and suddenly he's there, watching her from the doorway. The room's too dark, too smoky for her to see more than his outline, but she knows it's him. Who else could it be? She starts to wave him over, and he steps into the light. And it isn't him after all, just some boy she vaguely knows from class. She drags her hands down, but he's already seen her. He breaks into a grin and starts to push his way towards her. Christ, surely he can't think she'd been waiting for him. She spots some girls she knows over to his right and heads straight for them, as though that's what she'd been going to do all along. When she looks back over her shoulder, he's gone. She squeezes past a nest of couples snogging by the kitchen door and grabs a random can from the table. Gary, that was his name, she remembers. He'd given her and Morven a lift to uni when the buses were on strike, walked to the library with them a couple of times. God, but he was a twat. Still, she's ashamed of blanking him like that. But seeing him standing there, just for a moment, she thought, someone's messing with the music. Morrissey's cut off, dispatched by the Proclaimers, and then everyone's joining in, even the close to comatose, doing the whole 500-mile walking, arm-swinging thing until she feels the floor bouncing under her feet. She shoulders her way through the sweating, heat-sticky bodies until she reaches the balcony and pulls the curtains closed, muting the sounds from inside. Movement behind her. The curtains lifted by the breeze, she thinks at first, their extravagant lengths belling out and pooling at her feet. But no, it's more than that. The curtains parting and the music blaring briefly as someone slips through to stand behind her, just beyond the edges of her vision. Calling her name, but quietly, so that she has to strain to hear them. She spins round and her heel catches in the curtains. Her right foot slips and she stumbles sideways. Her arms flail, reaching out for something to hold onto, but the curtain is wrapping itself around her, covering her eyes, and the railing is right behind her. She can feel it cold against her back. Jesus, if she falls, if she goes over. Arms round her waist, peeling away the curtain, scooping her up and out of danger, holding her gently as though she's made of glass. She looks up at her rescuer, and her eyes widen. Of all the people. She starts to ask him what the hell he's doing there, but he puts his finger to her lips, smiling as though he knows a really cool joke, one he can't wait to share with her. He raises her higher, holding her away from his body. She shakes her head and starts to struggle. Why is he mucking about like this? Can't he see how dangerous this is? How close they are to the edge? He turns, still holding her, leans over the railing, and lets her go.